Please open your Bibles to the New Testament, to the Gospel according to Mark, as we will read from Mark chapter 1, the verses 1 through 22. Hear then God's holy, inspired word, Mark 1. The beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, as it is written in the prophets, "Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight." John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Then all the land of Judea and those from Jerusalem went out to him and were all baptized by him in the Jordan River, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, "There comes one after me who is mightier than I, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to stoop down and loose. I indeed baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And immediately coming up from the water, he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beasts, and the angels ministered to him. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." And as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then Jesus said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you become fishers of men." They immediately left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little farther from there, he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who also were in the boat mending their nets. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and went after him. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So far, the reading of God's word. And then I want to draw your attention to our text, verse 15, where the Lord Jesus says with authority, "The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Dear friends, is your spiritual passport ready? When you look at the second page on that spiritual passport, do you see your name there? Well, perhaps you ask, well, how do I become a citizen of God's kingdom? In what way will the kingdom of God become a place that I can enter in? Obviously, this is a question that is very important and that all of us need to ask, not only if our passport is ready, but how do I enter into the kingdom of God? How do I become a citizen of the kingdom of God? By what means does God operate that grace so that I may become such a citizen and have this spiritual passport in my heart? The Lord Jesus, as the wise instructor, as the one who represents the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he has the answer. And he speaks with a very authoritative way and voice. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. And so I want to consider with you this particular authoritative word of the Lord Jesus Christ, and do it by the following theme: Jesus' call to become a citizen of the kingdom of God. In the first place, it is a plain call. In the second place, it is an opportune call. And in the third place, it is an urgent call. Our congregation, as you will have noticed in these three headings that I have, is that I will actually begin at the very end of this short text passage. In other words, I will first speak to you about what Jesus says when he says, repent and believe in the gospel. Now, this is first of all a plain call, you see. I could even speak of it being a simple call. It is a call that every one of us must respond to, whatever you are and whoever you are, whether you are young or old. You don't need to have a high IQ. You don't need to be highly educated. You don't need to have a certain status in church or in society or in the country for that matter. You don't need to be of a certain class or of a certain race. You don't need to be wealthy. You don't need to have any credit in order to apply to become a citizen of the kingdom of God. The call is plain and simple. No one has to have the excuse, I cannot respond to this. Because if you would use that excuse, my friend, then it is not really the excuse at all. It is a matter of I can't. It's not a matter of I can't, but I don't want to. It's as plain as simple as that. Repent and believe. It is a plain call, you see, because it is an oft-repeated call in the very Word of God. A couple of examples in Acts 20. The Apostle Paul says of his preaching ministry, and you can read of that in Acts 20, verses 20 and 21, I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this has been the pattern of preaching of all the apostles and of every biblical preacher since that time. Repent and believe. These words constitute one call. You can't separate them. They belong together. C.H. Spurgeon, a famous preacher in Britain, a few hundred years ago, he said the following. He called repentance and faith Siamese twins in spiritual life. That means you just can't repent and leave it at that. You'd live in a very miserable state if all you could do is repent and repent and repent and nothing else. It would lead you to despair. It would give you remorse and regret, but nothing else. If that is all it was, just repenting. You know the story of Judas. He once repented. Yes, he did. But he despaired and he committed suicide because he did not repent in the right way and to the right person. In fact, there was no faith attached to that repentance. On the other hand, you can't just have faith and not be concerned about repenting, because that would make for a very shallow kind of faith, which will wash away in the storms of time. Repent and believe, you see, they work together. For some it is to repent and believe in that order. For others it is to believe and to repent. But it is one plain cause, plain and simple. Let me put it this way. True repentance leads to faith. True saving faith is familiar with the exercises of repentance. And therefore, Jesus said authoritatively, repent and believe. You cannot separate them. They work together. Together, they constitute one plain call. But now, for a better understanding, let me briefly distinguish between the two. And so we ask, what is it to repent? Obviously, repentance has to do with our personal sins. To repent basically means to change your mind. You have to change your mind about your personal sins. There was a time when you did not think very much about your personal sins, and if you did think of them, you did not think it to be a big deal whatsoever. You probably found enough excuses to do this or to do the other sin, and it was okay with you and with others perhaps as well. Maybe you laughed about your sins, even enjoyed them, and perhaps you even joked about doing those things because you saw them as nothing else but a little bit of weakness and a little bit of joy at the same time. Personal sins, you see. Personal sins. There was a time that if someone would come up to you and would call you a sinner, you would shrug it off as a dumb thing to say to someone else. Perhaps even think that the person should mind his own business for saying that to you. There was a time when you considered yourself actually pretty decent. Not perfect, but not bad either. Now Jesus says authoritatively, repent. This means that He wants you to change your mind about your personal sins. And dear friends, repentance therefore means that you are called to become brutally honest with yourself and that you begin to search your life which you have lived so far. Repentance, you see, it calls you to call your weakness sin, and your indulgence sin, and your enjoyment and your jokes and your laughter about sin, sin. Repentance calls you to change your mind about your personal sins and consider them from now on a big deal. Repentance calls you to go back to earlier days, perhaps as well, to the things that you did in your childhood, the things that you did that you know of were wrong, the things that you did as a teenager, the things that you did as you hung out with your friends, to the things that you did as you courted, as you were engaged, the sins that you committed in your married life. You see, in the framework of repentance, recalling the sins of youth will foster an increasing spirit of humility. Humility. And we need that. Because this is how the Holy Spirit is pleased to work amongst us who have learned to become humble under the authoritative word of Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible speaks of the sins of youth, and we know what they are, don't we? Well, repentance calls for you and for me to have a brutally honest look at our sins of youth, that we be humbled by them and cause us to change our mind about them. They were not mere evidences of some weakness in our system, but they were sins. And we will not excuse them anymore, but we will call them what they are. They were and they are not matters to joke about or to take lightly or to shrug it off, but to be ashamed of. even when the Spirit points us to it, to weep about them. To repent, dear friends, means to change your mind about your personal sins and to be brutally honest about them. But now to repent means more than just a change of mind. It also means at the same time to express this to God. In other words, and this is what we are reading in the Bible in the book of Acts 20, that it is repentance towards God. Not only must we, you and I, be brutally honest with ourselves about our sins, but we must confess honestly with and to God about our sin. And when Jesus calls us to repent, he means that you take those sins, item by item, segment by segment, episode by episode, and confess them to God without offering any excuse. We sometimes too easily formulate a very quick and general confession, and we will say in prayer, "Oh God, I confess my sins." But then God could, and imagine this, then God could respond and say, "Well, what are those sins? Tell me what it is that you want to confess to me. Be specific." I'm always struck with how David was able to confess his sins to God in the book of Psalms. He speaks of the sins of youth. He speaks of the sins that he committed during his adult life. He even speaks of sins of old age. An example, in Psalm 51, for instance, he confesses his sins and he calls these sins in different terms. He speaks of transgression. He speaks of some of them as iniquity. He speaks of others as downright evil. And so the question, my friends, is this: how do you repent? Again, be brutally honest with your sins and confess them specifically to God. Take some time to reflect on this, what you have heard just now, and take some time to speak to God about this. I know it's not a pleasant exercise, but if you do want to become a citizen of the kingdom of God, you need to go in the way in which God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has spelled out for us. And Jesus calls this the narrow way. The narrow way. But then, Jesus also calls us to faith when he says, "Repent and believe in the gospel." Now, what does he mean when he says, "Believe in the gospel"? It means to believe the person that, as it were, personifies the gospel. And boys and girls, you know who that is. The person who personifies the gospel is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And this is the one whom you and I are called to believe. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ is the embodiment of the gospel. The gospel, that is, the good news, is that the Lord Jesus Christ is there as the remedy for your and my sins, for the sins that you and I are called by him to repent of. Jesus' plain call, therefore, is to believe in him. Well, what is it then to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Let me first put it negatively. It means not believing in yourself. It means not trusting in yourself. It means not having any confidence in yourself. Now, this may sound like a real downer, and it's certainly not what the world would advocate, especially this day and age. But it is biblical. It is biblical. To believe in the Lord Jesus Christ means to put no confidence in the flesh, as we are told in Philippians chapter 3, verse 3. The Psalms, they also say something similar as we sing it, put no confidence in princes nor for help on man depend. And this also goes for yourself. Don't depend on yourself. Don't think that you can help yourself from your sin. In the kingdom of God, you see, there is no room for do-it-yourselfers. If anyone is to be relieved of their burden of sin, it has to be by the Lord Jesus Christ through repentance and faith. So then, positively, what does it mean to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? It means to entrust your complete self to Him. Your complete self. Now, how can you entrust yourself to someone whom you do not know? Therefore, it is important for you, if you want to become a Christian, a citizen of the kingdom of God, it is important for you to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And how do you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Through His Word, the Bible. Through the reading of the Word, because there is where you gain knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. You learn then that He has come down from heaven to become human, so that He could identify Himself with humans, such as you and I are. You learn there that He sympathizes with human beings who struggle with their sins. You learn there that the ultimate thing anyone could do, that is, He sacrificed Himself to bloodshedding and death in order to set human beings free from their sin. You learn there in that word, the Bible, that He so loves human beings like you and me, that He wants us to be His friends and His companions. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ means knowing Him. The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being conformed to His death. Our Heidelberg Catechism, which is a great guide for us, our Heidelberg Catechism also confesses this, that true faith is a certain knowledge. So then believing implies knowing. But there's more. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ also means to love Him for who He is and for how He has presented Himself to us in the Word. When He was on earth for some 33 years back, 2,000 years ago in Palestine, He showed Himself to be a kind and a compassionate person, meek and gentle, and considerate of people's needs. He spoke to everyone who wanted to communicate with Him. He left no one out in the cold. He ignored no one. In fact, He made Himself as approachable as possible, and the very word "come to Him" was a common invitation of Him for anyone, even for the biggest sinners. And so, isn't it inviting to love someone like the Lord Jesus Christ? The Bible says that, and we heard that this morning as well, that saving faith works through love. And this is particularly through learning to love the Lord Jesus. And it is for this reason also that the Apostle Peter once said, "To you who believe, He," that is the Lord Jesus Christ, "is precious." But there is more yet. Believing in the Lord Jesus Christ also means obeying Him. Now notice, in the Bible, He is often referred to as the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord, after all, means master, teacher, king, ruler. And with such titles, he can demand obedience from you and from me. And it makes sense, doesn't it? At least I do think so. It makes sense. If you are a believer and you have your sins forgiven and removed by the Lord Jesus Christ, you would want to obey him. Believing, you see, it means obedience. In fact, the Bible speaks of that as the obedience of faith, Romans 16, verse 26. So then, what is it to believe and what is the experience of it? It means knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. It means loving the Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, it means entrusting yourself unconditionally to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I mean unconditionally. It means entrusting your whole sinful, messed up self to him. And that he may do with you as he pleases. Now there's something else yet about believing. Gospel preaching will sometimes tell you to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, this too is very biblical. Because you can hear him, the Lord Jesus, saying, "Look to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. Look, look to me." Believing in him, therefore, means looking to him to be broken of your sin. The Lord Jesus explained this so patiently to Nicodemus, who was keenly interested in becoming a citizen of the kingdom. He first convinced Nicodemus of the impossibility of getting this done on your own. And so Jesus said, "You must be born again." "Impossible," Nicodemus said. "Impossible on my part." And then Jesus continued on with him. And what did he do? He took him to something and someone who was lifted up. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." In other words, from the impossibility of not being able to be born again through yourself, Jesus took Nicodemus to the cross and said, "Look, that is where you find it." In other words, "Start looking, Nicodemus, start looking at me. As I am lifted up by the Father, as I am lifted up by the gospel, as I am lifted up on the cross in order to draw all men, men like you, women, boys and girls like you, to me." And this is why the Lord Jesus also said later on, "And I, if I'm lifted up from this earth, I will draw all peoples to myself." This he said, signifying by what death he would die. Dear friends, what is Jesus' plain call to you and to me today? It is repent of your sin and to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, you might ask, well, now, how is this experienced? Well, as I indicated already, by humbling yourself, by being ashamed of your sinful self, by learning to know the Lord Jesus Christ, learning to love him, learning to look to him, feeling drawn to him, and growing in trust and confidence in him. John Calvin, a very famous reformer, said the following: "Faith is not a distant view, but a warm embrace of Christ." Faith is not a distant view, but a warm embrace of Christ. Now here is some encouragement for you who feel that at this point, repentance and faith are still beyond your grasp. You're still don't quite know how to go about it. But then I may say, on the basis of the Word of God, that both repentance and faith may be prayed for, because both repentance and faith are a gift of God. Two proof texts will clinch this. Acts 11, verse 18, "God has granted to the Gentiles repentance to life, Ephesians 2 verse 8, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Dear friends, plain and simple call has come to you this hour. Repent and believe. Responding to this call is your responsibility, my responsibility. As an old preacher once said, God is not going to repent for you, and God is not going to believe for you. You personally must repent and believe. But again, be encouraged. God, the Holy Spirit, is most pleased to grant you the grace of repentance and the grace of believing. In fact, He would be most pleased to teach you how to repent and how to believe. Therefore, go ahead and ask Him for it. Pray Him about it. And besides, remember what you're told in Romans 10, verse 17. "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Do you hear? Well, let me do my second and my third point rather quickly as we continue to read backwards in our text. The time is fulfilled. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. So we've dealt with repent and believe the gospel. You've heard a plain call. Now something about the opportune call. Jesus calls you and me to repent and believe because He says the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God, that is the place. That is the kingdom that we, you and I, should become citizens of or be citizens of. Well, what does it mean then that the kingdom of God is at hand? It means that a great opportunity is set before you and me who repent and believe. That is the opportunity to show yourselves to be a living citizen of the kingdom of God. And of course, this is what it means to be a believer, isn't it? You are meant to be a living citizen of the kingdom of God. The contrast, of course, is the very opposite of it. That is to be a member of the kingdom of Satan, the devil. And this is what we are by nature, aren't we? Without repentance and without faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, we are still under the dominion and the powers of the devil, that is Satan. And the Apostle Paul, he describes that sort of situation in Ephesians chapter 2, speaking of being dead in trespasses and sins and so on. But through repenting of sins and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are set free from the kingdom of Satan, and you have become a citizen of the kingdom of God. Now, what opportunities does the kingdom of God have for you? Well, I'll run out of time to describe this to you, but let me give you just a few hints. The kingdom of God provides you with forgiveness of sins, with cleansing from sin, freedom from sin, set free from the curse of sin, cleared from the condemnation of sin. It presents you with a clear conscience, with peace with God, with communion with God, with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and all of these beautiful fruits of the Spirit, inheritance and life eternal, everlasting. Moreover, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, you have opportunity for fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, to bask in His love and He in yours. You have opportunity to live in joy and delight with Him who once sacrificed Himself for you and who has saved you from sin and who has made you a Christian. You have opportunity to sing praises to Him and honor Him and rejoice in Him. These are all great opportunities that gives you as you become citizens of the kingdom of God. Now I ask you, is this not worth repenting for and believing in? How can the kingdom of Satan ever compare to the kingdom of God? What can the kingdom of Satan ever promise you? I think you know the answer. All it delivers is lies, deceit, everlasting, unrelenting regrets. And therefore, Jesus' authoritative call comes to you this hour. Repent and believe. When should you do so? You might ask. Our text hints at that as well. And that right at the very beginning of our text, when it says the time is fulfilled, which spells out for us an urgent call. And as I consider this with you briefly in the last place. Now, when Jesus spoke these words, it meant for the people of Israel that the promised Messiah had arrived and that salvation had come to the land of Israel. And for this reason, Jesus called Israel, the people of Israel, to repent and believe. For us today, it means that the offer of salvation and the opportunity to become a citizen of the kingdom of God is right now. The time is fulfilled. Or as you could also translate it, the time has arrived. You're in church this hour. The call to repent, the call to believe has gone forth this hour. And your response must also be this hour. My friend, it is time for you to stop making excuses. The time for you to become very serious about your spiritual citizenship. The time has come for you to deal decisively with your sin. The time has come for you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it is now that you must repent and believe. It is now that you must look to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. And therefore, the urgent call comes to you. Do not delay. Do not procrastinate. Jesus, the Lord, extends a very urgent call to you. And He does so as a Savior who has a heart for sinners, as one who has given His life for sinners. It is urgent, my young friend. It is urgent, my old friend. And it reminds me of an old hymn that says it so beautifully. Come to the Savior now. He gently calleth thee. In true repentance bow, before Him bend the knee. He waiteth to bestow salvation, peace and love, true joy on earth below, a home in heaven above. Come to the Savior all. Whatever your burdens be, hear now His loving call. Cast all your care on Me. Come, and for every grief, in Jesus you will find a sure and safe relief, a loving friend and kind. This, my friend, is the privilege and the joy of being a citizen of the kingdom of God. And so I ask you again, as I did at the very beginning, is your spiritual passport, is it that it says you are a citizen of the kingdom of God? And notice the signature. It is signed in blood. Amen.